Bob, it's a bit late now. Do you have any kicking around? I'll see what I can do afterwards. Okay, goggles on, lights going out. Testing in 10, 9, 8.
He pushes a switch. The red laser beam is only visible where it passes through the prisms.
You getting any overspill?
None.
The room is dark. The only light source, the faint trickle through the thickly frosted glass of the window in the door.
Good.
Williams cuts the power, then reaches across the bench by touch and rotates the sample tubes a quarter turn, lining them up with the beam path. Then he adjusts a mirror, flipping it to face a different and bulkier laser.
Okay, I'm switching to the high power source, going live in 10, 9, 8.
An image shimmers faintly in the darkness, stitched out in violet speckles across the translucent face of the screen on the optical bench. A pallid rectangle, violet with black runes.
That might be it,
Mo says quietly.
I expect so. I'm upping the power.
The rectangle fills in, glowing brighter and brighter.
Okay, I'm exposing the photographic paper now.
What kind of camera?
Pinhole with two holes. Yes, it's a double-split interferometer. Quiet now.
There's a soft click. 10 seconds later, there's another click.
Okay, I got the exposure done. Shame we can't use CCDs for this job, but you wouldn't want to feed some of the things we look at to a computing device. Right, you want to look at the bearer?
Yes.
Mo leans forward, careful to stay within her ward, which glows pale blue, the nacreous glimmer washing over her feet.
It might retrieve Mr. Dower. I can identify him. If it's anyone else, he'd like a portrait, please. I'll just reload the interferometer. Wait one... Okay, I'm ready. Now comes the fun bit. Do you know Zimbardo's second right?
Mo pauses for a while.
I think so.
Good, because we're going there. Don't worry, your part isn't hard. Let's get started.
After 5 minutes of minute adjustments, Williams runs a certain specialized script on his workstation, which starts up a soundtrack of chants in an esoteric language and sends a sequence of commands to the microcontrollers in the workbench. As the baritone voices intone meaningless syllables with the mindless precision of a speech synthesizer, he whispers to her,
"Some visitors say it spoils the fun, but I rather think it's better than taking the risk of a slip of the tongue."
A new image begins to fuzz into being in the screen. The drawn face of a male, 50-something, wearing an expression of intent concentration.
"That's Dower," Mo confirms.
"He wrote the report.
Who do you get next?"
"Let's see. It'll cycle through the bearers soon enough."
Dower's face is melting, morphing into a likeness. Mo's breath catches in her throat.
"Shit."
"You get around, do you?"
William sounds amused.
"No, I told you they're targeting me directly."
She stops, her voice rising.
"It would be the best way to get the report out of Dower. Send an agent who looks like me." "I believe you."
The amusement drops from his voice.
"Thousands wouldn't."
"Let them."
She takes a deep breath.
"Is there anyone else?"
"Wait."
The face is fading slowly. As it dims, Mo sees a faint shimmer about the eyes, the only sign that it may be a false sending. Whoever is behind the glamour is very good.
"Come on, come on,"
Dr. Williams murmurs under his breath. Mo shifts her weight uneasily from one foot to the other, as she does when her feet are complaining about too many hours in smart shoes. She glances sidelong into the darkness, where the shadows are swirling and thickening. A faint spectral scatter of spillage from the violet laser shimmers across the wall.
"Any res-"
She's in the process of turning her head back towards Dr. Williams and the workbench as the imago shudders and distorts, twisting into another's face. Williams is meticulous and doesn't cut corners. This is why he and Mo survive. There's a crack like a gunshot, and two near simultaneous bangs from the power supplies that feed the workbench. High-speed Krytron switches short the output to Earth. A rattle of broken glass follows, as shards from the diffraction screen and some of the pentaprisms follow. The synthesized voices stop. Seconds later, a thin wisp of smoke begins to curl from the top of the laptop.
"Sit rep,"
snaps Williams.
Contained and uninjured. Yourself?
Mo raises a hand to her cheek. One finger comes away damp with blood. Not uninjured. The pain hasn't reached her yet.
Keep your goggles on and stay in the grid until I say you're clear.
The smoke is nauseatingly thick. Williams reaches out with the Perspex tongs and flips the light switch.
Thermometer says we're grounded. Clear to step out of the grid.
He demonstrates.
Damn, what a mess.
Mo swallows.
Is there a CCTV track? What did I tell you earlier about images and computers? No, but we ought to be able to confirm whether it's your document.
He sounds unhappy.
Did you get a glimpse of whatever that was?
She nods.
Been there, done that. Countermeasures.
Williams makes an obscenity of the word.
Does that tell you anything useful?
Yes.
Mo picks up a handbag from the workbench on the opposite wall, hunting for a tissue.
Whoever's got the report knows what it is, and they're willing to fight to keep it.
She draws a deep, shuddering breath.
Do you have a secure voice line?
I need to make a call.
Click-clack.
Don't move.
I stand very still. The sound of a shotgun slide being racked at a range of less than 3 meters is a fairly good indication that your luck has run out, especially if you can't see where the shooter's positioned.
Very good, Mr. Howard.
The speaker is Mayo, standing somewhere behind me. He's on the embankment, of course. Even the B-team learn eventually. Maybe I should have tried to shoot them the other night. And maybe I should cultivate my inner psychopath some more. Oh well.
Do what I say, and they won't shoot you. If you understand, nod.
I nod like a Churchill dog, thinking furiously. His accent is odd. Welsh? I can't place it.
When I stop speaking, I want you to slowly remove your pistol and place it on the ground in front of you. Then I want you to turn around. Do you understand?
But I'm not.
Did I ask you to speak?
His voice is icy. I shut up fast.
If you understand, nod, he repeats.
I nod. It's not my job to disillusion him about my imaginary invisible handgun. Like I said, the B-team are more...